congregation, that you will bring it back to my memory, and that, dear Father, the things that will be shared tonight will be of benefit to everyone that is present. We pray, dear God, that our worship will indeed be acceptable to you, and that, dear Father, we will worship you in spirit and in truth. All this we ask in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, a lot of innocent people went to prison and even were punished for crimes that they did not do. But now we have DNA tests that can show or reveal that this person is not the murderer. And the DNA test can show who the real murderer is. But even people can reveal themselves to us also by their behavior. You know, I teach in a classroom, and sometimes the way the student behave in the classroom, I can tell about their behavior, their characteristic. I can know about their motive and all of that. Now, our worship reveals a lot. The way we worship God reveals a lot to God, reveals a lot to ourselves, if we are mindful. I said if we are mindful. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. Sometimes in life, church, we just go through things in a routine way, and we are not mindful of what we are doing. That means we are not aware, we are not conscious of what we are doing. When we are worshiping God, we need to be more mindful of what we do. But I'm not talking about worship in a general way. I'm talking about there is something else that we need to be mindful of. Sometimes when we give of our time, we need to be mindful. Is my motive right? If what I'm doing, is it in God's will? So when we're giving our time and our effort, but you know what else? When we are giving our money. Brother Wilson, I don't see him here now, but he was praying about the giving. When we are giving our money, church, we need to be mindful. Is our motive right? Are we in any way holding back? Are we robbing God? These are things that, church, we have to be mindful of when we are giving to God. So, if you want to title this lesson, you could say, what does your giving tell about you? What your giving says about you? Your giving is very revealing about you. The same way that the DNA test can reveal who the father is or who the murderer is. The same way the child's behavior in the classroom can tell me what the child is. Your giving tells God a lot about you. And if you are mindful, your giving can tell a lot to you. And what is the purpose of this lesson? At the end of this lesson, my hope and prayer is that we examine ourselves more, become more mindful, examine or be more reflective when we are giving our money. I'm talking about the money this time, not the time nor the effort, the money. I know that many people don't like to talk about the money, but we talk about the money tonight. When we are giving up our money, it tells a lot about us. Remember, I'm not going to that Old Testament passage with David, but remember David says he doesn't want to give God anything that won't cost him anything.
That was David's attitude, you know. That tells God a lot about David. When David see where he was living and see what represented God's presence, David was reading, no, something has to be done. And David says, I'm not going to give God what cost me nothing. We need to learn from David. David was very mindful of what his actions were. But tonight, we're going to go to another passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Everybody turn to that passage for me. I'll be reading from the Amplified Version though. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'll be reading from verse 1 through to verse 5. I want to see some things that come out from these people. We're going to learn a lot about them. I'm going to put some of these things on the board now. When we go to the passage, number one, we're going to see that they had a strong spirit of generosity. Strong. Can you write the back seat at the back? Try to write with a bright marker. Strong spirit of generosity. Are you generous in your giving? Strong spirit of generosity, which springs from their appreciation of God's grace. Springs from their appreciation of God's grace. We're going to see that when we go to the passage. Very, very clearly. So that is one point that we're going to see from this one passage. The second thing we want to see is they demonstrate a strength of commitment. They had a strong commitment. When you give of your money, is it showing a strong sense of commitment? Strong sense of commitment. You know what the church has to do. Are you living up to that in your giving? We're going to see that they first gave themselves to the what? To the Lord. Put a star with this one. First gave themselves to the Lord. What do we mean by that? That is going to come out in the lesson. That they first gave themselves to the Lord. They were able to go beyond their ability. That shocked Paul, you know, when Paul saw that they were able, Brother Pierre, to go beyond their ability. And sometimes this is needed in church, especially when certain needs arise. We have to go beyond ability. So we are going to see a lot of these things coming out in this passage of Scripture. Now, the context. This was not just an ordinary giving. This was a giving to help the saints in Jerusalem. Am I right, Brother Mitchell? Yes. It was to help the saints in Jerusalem. And the apostles were collecting funds to assist the poor Christians in Jerusalem. Let us look at verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Follow in your Bible. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want to tell you about..." Paul start like that. It's like Paul is so excited to tell about what this Macedonian church is doing. So he says, "Brothers and sisters, we want to tell you about the grace of God, which has been what? Evident." Remember, I tell you now, the giving is revealing, you know, reveals a lot. So Paul is saying here now, it is evident in the churches of Macedonia. It is evident, it is clearly seen in their giving. And I can't wait to tell you. If I was talking Potter, I probably would say something like that. I can't wait to tell you what I'm seeing. How the grace of God is propelling these people, you know, to give. And the Amplified says, it's awakening in them a longing to contribute. Can you imagine? Because of the grace of God, it is awakening in them. They want to contribute. I soon tell you the context of these people, you know. They're not rich people, you know. You soon see that they're not rich people. But they were, it is evident. No, Christians, when we, grace teaches us, you know. Grace teaches us. The Bible says grace teaches us. And we know where we are coming from. We know that Christ came and saved us. By the grace of what? By the grace of God. It's no big thing to take off our material blessings and give back. It's no big thing for what he has done. No big thing. So we need these people. And that's why Paul is saying, my gosh, it is so evident in the church of Macedonia. This awakening in them. They want to. It's a longing to contribute. That's verse 1. Verse 2 now. I got to read something wrong in verse 2. And correct me, brother. You're looking at your Bible. Look at verse 2. I got to say something wrong, but you must correct me. Verse 2. For these people, having an abundance of material wealth. Did it say that? Did it say that? Yes or no?
No.
Brother Curtis, I said no with a doubt. Did it say? Everybody look at your Bible. Brother Mitchell, did it say that? Talk louder, Brother Mitchell. Did it say that? No. It never said that rich. You know what it says? Verse 2 says, for during an ordeal of severe distress, their abundant joy and their deep poverty together, the Amplified put together, overflowed in the wealth of, this is where they welcome, you know, the welcome in their generosity. The wealth of their generosity. See it right here? A strong spirit of what? Generosity. That's where the wealth is. The strong spirit. We must ask ourselves, when we are giving on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, is it mindless? Are we not thinking about what we are doing? Are we just doing it out of routine? Or are we driven by a strong sense of generosity through grace of God? The grace of God should drive us to want to do that. And it's not depending on whether we're rich or poor. If we're rich, we give. If we're middle class, we give. And if we're poor, we give. Because some people, you know, Sister Mitchell, because they are poor, they believe they can't give. It's another one again. It doesn't excuse you from giving. Whether you are rich, middle class, or poor. And the Bible didn't tell you the exact amount of money to give. Didn't say that. But it does tell you the spirit of giving. It is sacrificial. It must cost you something. That's what David said. So if you're poor, it's going to cost you something still. Rich, it costs you something still. Now, when you're very, very rich, and you might put in the offering plate $70,000, it might, to us looking on, might say, wow, Brother Gilbert put in $70,000. But perhaps Brother Gilbert could have put in $1 million. Are you following me? So that's where the sacrifice goes. You must feel it. And that's what happened to these people. They were going through an ordeal of severe, not just severe distress, you know. But even in that distress and that deep poverty, they still had an abundant joy. Where are they getting this joy from? They are getting this joy in the fact that you are able to contribute to the work of the church. Their abundant joy, together with the deep poverty, overflowed now. You see, the Bible describes overflowing, Brother Mitchell. It overflow in the wealth of their lavish generosity. And they're not rich. The Macedonian congregation was quite poor. In that region, was quite poor. Verse 3 now says, this is verse 3 now, church. For I testify, you still talk, you say, I testify that according to their what? Ability. But listen to the shot now, Brother Bean. And beyond their ability. Wow, wow, wow. Beyond their ability, they gave voluntarily. Nobody was forcing them to give. It revealed that they gave what? Voluntarily, beyond their ability. We can use this congregation to challenge ourselves to improve the way we give. That's what this lesson is all about. All of us can improve our giving, all of us. So therefore, we can use this as a very good example of how we should give. Because when it says beyond their ability, you know, it's talking about if they were to give, say, $100, and say our expectations of them was $100, Paul is saying, I am completely in awe. I am completely in awe. I'm in shock. Because when I thought they would give $100, or probably even lower because of their circumstances, they surprised me and gave $200. That is beyond their ability. I didn't expect that from them, Brother Earl. I didn't expect them to go beyond their ability. What a congregation. Wow, wow, wow. But listen, verse 4 now. It's like they are begging Paul that they want to give. He says here in verse 4, begging us. The Amplified says, begging us insistently for the privilege of participating in the service for the support of the saints in Jerusalem. When Brother Webb is making the announcements, and I did the same thing this morning, he says in his announcement that we have some, what he put, calls it though, opportunity. He calls it opportunity. Remember when he gave that, he said we have opportunity. And he said we have the opportunity to provide for the, to bring in some canned foods. It's an opportunity to do good, you know. These people be begging for that. he says there's an opportunity to print the tracts. Didn't he say that? Yes. And there's an opportunity to work in the VBS. And there's an opportunity to become an assistant Sunday school teacher. These are all opportunities, you know, that Christ is trying to, Fabian is putting, and said, these are the opportunities. And Christ is saying, church, these are the opportunities. Use them up. Use them up. Challenge yourself and grow. Because as you take the opportunities, you're also growing, you know. As a result of taking on the opportunities, you also grow. No, the begging wasn't coming from Paul. This is where the begging coming from. When you are giving and the revealing, it's not coming from Paul. It's not coming from the pulpit. It's not coming from Fabian or Brother Mitchell and myself saying, church, we have some opportunity. We want you to consider to be a part of our Sunday school program. Church, we want you to consider to bring in some canned food.
Church, we want you to consider if you can do something with the VBS. Church, we want you to consider if you can get some money to help print some of the...
And they will come back the following week.
Church, we want you to consider.
The other week.
Church, we want you to consider. No. The Macedonian church wasn't in for that at all. The begging came from their side. Let's look at verse 4. What it says. It didn't say that, it didn't, Paul didn't say that, I beg them, you know. It didn't say, I beg them. Let me hear the King James Version put it, Brother Cunningham. Then I can go back to the Amplified.
Praying us with much entreaty.
Much entreaty.
That we would receive the gift.
That we would receive the gift.
And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints.
Exactly. The Amplified said, begging us insistently for the privilege, the opportunity of participating in the service for the support of the saints in Jerusalem. They want to be a partner. They said, look here, Paul. We know so we're poor, you know. We know so we're poor. Poor like church bows. We're poor, poor. I don't get that from you. But poor, 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 poor. But we don't want you to leave us out of this. Because we want the blessing. We want to be a part of God's work. So don't leave us out. And they're begging for it. They beg us insistently. Amen. That they want to participate in Amen. This thing. What a congregation is. Sister Johnson, what a congregation.
Amen.
If we have a little piece of this, what we can accomplish here at Patrick City. Can you imagine? If we were not just, if we're not giving mindlessly and start to reflect on how we are giving and try to challenge ourselves, can I give a bit more? Can I do more? Can I give more? And then when we give more like that, you know, the church can, there's so much we can do. We have evangelists. Now that the COVID over, we need a whole heap of work to do, you know. We have a personal evangelism to do that. We need to do more outreach programs. Amen. The Sunday school program needs to be even more strengthened. Amen. There's so much we can do. But we can't do it if, Brother Mitchell might not want to tell you, but if we can't do it, Brother Mitchell, I will tell them, we can't do it if our hands and feet are tied. If our hands and feet are tied, we can't do certain things that we need to do. And the Macedonian church will have none of that. But they're poor, you know. They would have none of that. No, look at verse 5 now from the Amplified. It says, not only did they give materially, as we had hoped, but first what? Gave themselves to the Lord. First gave them. You see, when they give yourself to the Lord, for everything come easy. Because when you give yourself to the Lord now, and you give your entire surrender, there's that thing, I surrender all. You know that song? I surrender all. And we surrender all to him. Then we're going to have that strong faith. We're not going to hold back on the money, right? We're not going to hold back on it. Because we're going to have that strong faith that God is going to see us through. Amen. We're going to have that strong faith. So we're not going to be very cringy with our money. No. So we must give ourselves to him first. Because when you give yourself to him, you know, his work comes first. The mission of the church is first. That's why the Bible says, first gave themselves to the Lord. Christ, but the Bible is not saying we mustn't look out ourselves, you know. We have to balance everything. The Bible is not saying you must save your money for your own person as well. But the Bible says you must give yourself first to the Lord. And the giving is easier. It won't be so torturous. It won't be so torturous. You won't have to be giving the money to the offering plate and your hands feel heavy.
No. It will be so light. You'll be so free because you want to do it. And nobody is forcing you to do it, you know. You want to do it. So the giving is saying a lot about us. It is saying, are we holding back God's hands? Are we robbing God? Or are we participating the way we ought to participate? When the offering comes to you Sunday by Sunday, are you moving away from the plate? Or are you willing to give to the plate, putting money in there? I'm talking about money now. Money. Yes. Because it says here, they give materially. So it's money, as we had hoped. But first gave themselves to the Lord. And then listen to this part now. Read that little part for me now, Brother Cunningham. First they gave themselves to the Lord and what?
That's verse 5.
Verse 5, yes, man.
And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by
Stop.
The...
First gave themselves to the Lord and to what?
And to us.
Read that again. And to what?
And to us.
Stop. But let me tell you, always say it, that our attitude to the church shows our attitude to God. Paul is saying it right here. They gave themselves to the Lord, and then he says, and to us. That means that they still see that human element there. But Paul represents the human element, you know. But that human element represents what God wants. So they gave themselves to the Lord and to us. Because that represents the will of what? God, read that little part now. And to us. Read again.
And unto us by the will of God.
You see? By the will of God. God ties the church and divinity together. It's tied together, Michael. It's tied. So you can't say, you know, we not get the trip because they not spend the money right. If they don't spend the money right, they have to ask to God, but you are responsible to give to the church. Right? So, and to us by the will of who? God. It's the will of God that the funds are channeled through the apostles. Continue reading.
Insomuch that we desire Titus, that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also.
All right, listen to this version now, the Amplified. I'm going to read verse 5 in the Amplified. Not only did they give materially, as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord and to us as his representatives by the will of God. Listen to this now. Disregarding their personal what? Interest. And giving as much as they possibly could. Disregarding. No, that is a high level to reach, you know, Michael. Very, very high level to reach. And remember I said to you that this was a special giving though. A special. It wasn't a normal or normal giving. So it's a special giving. Sometimes we are called upon, but Benjamin shall always say, and this is where we have to, I'm going to say this now also. When special interests come up, listen carefully. Remember, you know, you're going to have a mindfulness in your what? Giving. What do I mean, Brother Gilbert? I keep saying that word, keep on saying this word. A mindfulness in our giving. We must think about it. Think about the needs of the congregation. So therefore, when a special need comes up, like we're giving something now to brother, what's the brother's name again in? Money. Yes. Mm-hmm. The Finley. Okay, I forget the Finley. Brother Finley in Money. I'll be giving to them. No, this way you can go beyond your ability. No. Here, this one.
Because you're going to give to Brother Finley's cause. And you're going to be mindful what you're giving to this too, you know. You're going to be mindful what you're giving to this because you know so he needs the help. So you're still not going to give $1. Right? You're going to be mindful. But at the same time now, the church has responsibility that it has to meet each month. Am I correct? So you're going to be mindful. Say, I give to Brother Finley. And you give your regular worship, regular offering as well. That is what it's all about. That's your Christianity now in action. That enables the church now to do a whole heap of things. Whole heap of things, you know. Beyond even what we can think of now. Whole heap of things. We can do. Can you imagine what we can do? With all of, if every Christian is giving the way they ought to give. Now remember it's revealing, you know. So no matter how you say you're faithful, this is going to be the litmus test, just like the DNA test. Remember the DNA test tell you who the murderer is and who the father is and all of that? The giving tells your true essence. You could quote Bible passages, sing like an angel. Very pious. I know a lot of passages in the scripture, but if your giving is not up to God's standard and will, you still fall short. Fall way short too. Remember, God never hold back when he was giving his son, Jesus Christ, for us. That's why it starts with the grace of God. Our commitment must always spring from that. Never hold back. Did he hold back, Brother Mitchell? No. Even when God used nature to bless his people, fruitful season, bounty, see, does he hold back? Mm-hmm. No. For God so loved the world, he said his only what? Begotten Son. He never think of holding back. That's a very good model for us, you know. Amen. We have to give more. We have to give more. So that the work of the church can run smoothly. We have so much work to do. We have so much people to meet. So much work. It takes money. So, God is also saying, prove me. Malachi chapter 3, 8 to 10. Will a man rob God? Everybody turn to that passage for me. It's a question. It's like this question, Brother Michelle, you can tell what this question is like. It's like a daring. Am I right? It's like, can a man dare to rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you will say, wherein have we robbed thee? They could understand. I know they could understand the word mindful, you know. They were just going through the routine. They weren't mindful. So they didn't realize they were robbing him. And God said to them, you robbed me, yes? You robbed me in tithes and offerings. That's why you robbed me. And when you rob me like that, you're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me. The entire nation has robbed me. Be careful, Christians. We don't want to be in that situation. Then he says, no. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And what does he say? And prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of what? Heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to what?
to receive it. We need to put our faith on display. We need to prove God to ourselves and to everyone else. He will do it, you know. God has never let down in his word. So if you know our giving, we are holding back. We are showing that we are not believing God in his promise.
Amen.
He will bless you. He will bless your world. You know, you get sick, you get better. You get in a problem, you get out of the problem. You get so much spiritual insight and knowledge in his word. He's going to bless you, tremendously bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you, you know. But you have to prove, you have to have that faith and prove him. Stop holding back on that money. Give the money. Give the offering. Stop holding, stop robbing him. Every Sunday you're robbing him. Stop it. I'm talking plain to you, stop it. You can be good in everything else, as I show you, but this is the one that reveal it. This is a litmus test. This is a DNA. You can't run away from that one. That is the test. I'm going to ask Brother Michael to come and lead us in an invitation song. And I'm not saying you need to come up and recommit. You need to recommit by changing your behavior, changing all your give. And if you need prayer and special strength, then come up. Yes. Michael, please come and do this.